Life Audio.
You are listening to The Becca Cook Show with your host, Becca Cook. For more information about Beckett and his ministry, visit his website at beckettcook.com. To help support the podcast, visit patreon.com/The Becca Cook Show. Please consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving a 5-star rating.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. Today I want to talk about the allegory of Plato's cave. Now, Plato, this is from Plato's Republic, or the Republic of Plato, which was written around 380 BC. And I read this Plato's Republic in, I think, in college, my freshman year. And anyway, I was just thinking about Plato's cave recently. And I was thinking how much it reminded me of evangelism.
But first, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
And so I want to talk about what Plato's cave is, what the allegory is. And it was in the allegory, Socrates is the main speaker, and he's speaking to Plato's brother, Glaucon. And basically, they say that in this allegory, it says that we all resemble captives who are chained deep within a cavern, who do not yet realize that there is more to reality than the shadows that we see on the wall. So if I'm going to put this image up of the cave, so notice in the cave, there's men that are chained to the floor. And these men have been chained there since childhood, since they were born, which is weird. I don't know how they were chained when they were infants, but they've been in the allegory, it says they've been chained since childhood, and even their necks are chained. So they can't move their necks. They can't move their legs. So all they can see is what is on the wall. And there's right behind them, you can see that they're up against a partition, a little wall. And behind the partition are people who are carrying objects back and forth. And they're images of people and animals. They're carved in stone and wood and other materials. And so, and then there's a fire, as you can see, there's a fire behind the puppeteers. So the fire is casting a shadow on the wall of whatever the puppeteers are carrying. And so for these prisoners in the cave, all they're seeing are these shadows on the wall. And for them, this is all they've seen their entire lives. They've never seen anything else. So this is reality for them. And at one point, I think about myself, and I think about anyone who's not a believer. Before I was a believer, I thought that reality was what I knew, was what I saw in this world. I was a materialist. So I thought this is reality, and there's nothing else beyond this. And until my conversion in 2009 to Christianity, and then my reality completely changed. I'll get to that in a minute. But so one of these prisoners is set free and dragged out into the sunlight. So he goes up he's dragged out of the cave up into the real world, and what's called the upper world, which is actual reality. So it takes him a while to adjust to the sunlight. His eyes are like, it's very painful for him. And that's kind of true when you come to faith in Christ. It can be very jarring and painful because there's that conviction of sin, but it's also obviously super joyful.
We'll be right back after this short break.
But anyway, this prisoner who gets set free and is dragged up into the real world, he sees reality for the first time. And it's a revelation to him, obviously. It's like, wow, this is... So eventually he decides to go back down into the cave and tell the prisoners that what they're seeing on the wall isn't reality, that it's not... it's just the shadow of what reality is. And that the real world is what reality is, and the above the ground, the upper world. And of course, the prisoners, they can't kill him, but they want to kill him because they are so furious, and they think he's gone mad. They think he's gone out of his mind. And that's kind of what it's like. You know, obviously, you know this, like, or some of you know this, obviously, that when you get saved, and this is what happened with me when I got saved in 2009, I realized, oh my gosh, like I say this all the time, it was like the curtains parted and I could see reality for the first time in my life. And it blew my mind. I was just like, what is this? This is amazing. And I came to faith in Christ, and I had that road to Damascus transformation. And of course, I wanted to tell all of my friends immediately. And so I decided to sit down with each friend. It took about 3 weeks to tell all my friends. And I sat down with each one at a time. And it says that, yeah, this prisoner who goes back into the cave and tells the prisoners about the real world. It was the same. It was similar to my experience, because I had just assumed, you know, when I tell my friends about my conversion, when I tell them about the gospel and Jesus and that it's all real, they're going to immediately come to faith. Like I was so kind of naive in that way. And what was surprising to me was that they were so resistant to it. And in fact, some of them wanted to kill me, especially when it came to, you know, my telling them that I no longer was living that life as a gay man. And so that was very threatening to them. So, or I don't know what the word, I don't know if it was threatening or if it was just, you know, I don't know. But it's interesting because a few of those friends over the years have come to faith in Christ. Praise God. It's been amazing to see that. And I have a notebook with a list of all of my old friends with their names. And I have check marks by the ones who've come to faith in Christ. And I'm still praying for all of the other ones. Obviously for Plato, this was written before Christ. So for Plato, the point of the allegory is the journey upwards is the ascent of the soul into the intellectual world. In order to create a utopian society, we should be ruled by those who have seen the light. So basically philosopher kings should run the world because they're the enlightened ones. They know what reality is. So that's the point of Plato's allegory. But for my whole life, I believed the shadows were real. And then I met Christ and I understood that those were all just shadows and they weren't real. And it's funny because my church is called Reality LA. So I discovered reality at my church in 2009. And so I don't know why this hit me recently, but I just wanted to share this allegory with you. Some of you probably heard this, many of you have. But and I want to encourage us to continue praying for unbelieving friends and family members, because obviously that's what's gonna, that's what, you know, this is a spiritual battle, and there's this a battle over their souls. And so I just urge all of us to continue praying for our friends and family and for their salvation and for them to come out of the cave and see the actual sunlight, see the Son of God, Jesus. Because yeah, when I got saved, it was like, wow, now Jesus is real. He's the Son of God. He died and rose from the dead. He died for my sin. He atoned for my sins on the cross, and he rose from the grave, and he's seated at the right hand of God. And so that's just glorious news. And now I have eternal life because I've been reconciled to God through the blood of Christ. So anyway, I just thought I'd share this with you. It's just been on my mind, and I hope you enjoyed that, and I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Beckett Cook Show. Your support makes this content possible. All episodes of The Beckett Cook Show are also available on YouTube. For more information about Beckett and his ministry, visit his website at beckettcook.com.
Thank you to the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find more faith-centered podcasts about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
What do you do when your world is falling apart? How do you march when it would be easier to stay where you are and die? Join me every week on the March or Die podcast, and we'll discuss that and so much more.